Beginning of my 10th year working at the seminary, great years, and I've learned a couple of things about this pulpit. Number one, it is a very challenging pulpit. It's a hard pulpit to preach on. The audience with so many able professors and so many pastors, it makes it challenging. I was thinking that probably with so many pastors present, pastors who have preached often in their fields before they came to Andrews, it probably makes this audience the most pastorized audience in the entire state of Michigan. Not only is it challenging, but I learned in 10 years that it is also very elusive. This is the first time I get invited to preach over here. And this is, Shane, thank you for the opportunity. It might even be my last, my alpha and omega. Once you learn how lousy of a preacher I am, the committee, SSF, or whoever chooses the preacher might decide to put me in the do not preach list. But thanks for the opportunity. The Bible speaks... uses tropological language to compare Christians or to compare our characteristics, what we should be about. And it uses metaphors, beautiful metaphors from different kingdoms. In fact, from the three kingdoms that form and populate the earth. It compares Christians to fish. With fish, it's a beautiful metaphor. In that metaphor, the church is like a huge aquarium, and Christians, as fishers, have the responsibility to continue to bring fish to the aquarium. Isn't that beautiful? And this is our responsibility as pastors, as ministers, as professors. To get away, to learn and to show and to experience how to fill up the empty benches. Challenging work. It compares us also another metaphor from the mineral kingdom with salt, the salt of the earth. We are the salt of the earth. We are to emulate the healing, the preserving powers of salt, the characteristics, the unity, the contact that needs to experience the salt with those elements that are trying to preserve. Ellen White has a beautiful... comments beautifully on this issue in the book Mount of Blessing. But I'd like to speak this morning about another literary tropo of the Bible, another metaphor. And this is from the vegetable kingdom, from botany. The Bible compares us to trees, with trees. But notice, it's not any type of tree. Special trees, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. And it adds something else. It says that whatever he does or she does will prosper. And I know we all want to be prosperous. I know you want to be prosperous while you take different courses this semester. I know you want to be prosperous in your family, in your social relationships, in your own life, in your finances. We all want to be prosperous. What's the key to that? This metaphor encloses beautiful teachings that I'd like to share with you this morning on how to become like trees planted beside waters. Trees are a blessing to humanity. Trees are a source of food. Fruits, this is the time of the year where you can get peaches all over the place around here. I've been playing tennis this Sunday, the past two Sundays, playing tennis with John. Is John around here? He brings the most delicious peaches. So we take a break between sets, eat a couple of peaches. Fruits. Food, it's a source of food. When the Bible compares us to trees, in a sense, it's teaching. Homiletically, we can draw the lesson that we are supposed to be a source of food, spiritual food, nutritious food for those who need it. It's a source, the trees are a source of medication. I was recently in my country, Costa Rica, and I was in one of those preserved rainforests that you can see botanists, people from different parts of the world, just studying the trees, extracting medications, medicines to heal the physical ailments of human beings. As trees, we need to be that. We need to be the analgesic that will soothe the pain that people around us are experiencing. We are supposed to be the antibiotic to cure the evils of sin, or to be the means by which they get a hold of it. Trees are a source of condiment. In fact, you know that cinnamon comes from the bark of a small tree. Condiment, being that note of happiness, the individual that brings this ray of hope in places where there isn't. It's a source of aroma. And I suffer a lot in the spring because of allergies due to the many flowers that dress trees, fruit trees, in this, especially in the spring. But see, be that, as Paul indicates, the aroma of Christ. It's a source of shelter, a source of protection, and we are to be that too. Trees are shelter, lots of animals, and they help us too. Most houses in the U.S. are built out of trees, but trees also have a lot of enemies. They have winds. Wind is one of the worst enemies of trees. And spiritually speaking, they are winds of doctrine that, how many Christians have lost their faith because of different doctrines. And there is so much written nowadays. And people think just because something is written on paper is supposed to be true. No, it's not necessarily true. Just because it's a nice book with a nice cover is not necessarily true. A lot of doctrines that are poisoning the lives of readers. Enemies, they have fire is one of the, it's another enemy of trees. A couple of years ago, I was in Yosemite and I saw the devastation of a fire that took place a few years ago. Incredible devastation, fire. Yes, but Jesus is the water that can put any fire of trials that can be against us. Trauma caused by experiences. Yes, we become traumatized sometimes spiritually by a negative experience that we may experience at a church, or why not, perhaps at the seminary, perhaps at the university. But Jesus is the traumatologist, is that how you call him? He is the doctor. He can cure any type of trauma that we may experience. Cancer. You probably have seen trees with tumorous, they call them canker. Yes, Jesus is the oncologist. He can remove any type of cancer of sin that may be invading our bodies. Now, but how can we become the sort of tree described over here by the psalmist in Psalm chapter 1 or in Psalm 1? Is a tree that never withers. It's always happy. It's optimistic. It's always hopeful. It's a tree that is always fruitful. Emulates the fruits of the Spirit. And everything that the tree that you and I will do will prosper. And there are four ways how trees grow that may allow us to be that type of tree. If you notice, trees always grow upward. They grow upward for one main reason. They need the sun rays. They need the sun. And Jesus is that sun ray. He's S-O-N, the Son of Justice. But he's the one that provides the type of rays that we need to be healthy, to be fruitful, to be prosperous. Just looking at Jesus all the time. And it is incredible what trees do in order to get a glimpse of the sun rays. Some time ago, I lived in Mexico. I traveled to Mexico often, and I started at Mono Morelos. And in Mono Morelos, I learned a few things. And one of the things that I learned is to eat hot pepper. Yeah. And there is a plant in Mexico. It's a pepper plant. They call him Los Mira Para Arriba. It's called the Looking Upward Peppers. Yeah. Los Mira Para Arriba. That's how they call him. Because normally peppers grow with the stem just falling down. This one just go upward. But they are very, very good. You know, they are peppers that burn you in the mouth, and there are other peppers that burn you in the stomach. But in Mexico, they assure you that peppers are very good for your memory. Because you remember the day after you eat them. But some time ago, a few years ago, I got a hold. I'm not going to tell you how I got that plant through the border. But I had it in my house over here in Michigan until a couple of years ago. Because it was shedding so many leaves that my wife decided, you know, to give it away. And she gave it away. But I noticed when I had the peppers, because peppers in this part of the globe, they died in the winter. So you have to get a new plant. So I had it in my house, inside the house. And it provided fruit all year long. But I had to hide it by a window. And I noticed all the little leaves, little branches, stems, will just face to the window. To the point in which the plant becomes deformed. So I had to turn it around every week so it could grow evenly. The importance, the sun, plants grow healthy because they look always at the sun. We want to grow healthy as Christians, we need to look at Jesus. You see, the Christian church is Christian because of Christ. The moment we stop being Christ-centered, we stop being Christian. How important it is, looking. I lived in California, and we had a apricot. We had an apricot tree. And when we planted the tree, we didn't think that the shade of another tree was going to affect the growth of this fruit tree. But the tree, in desperation for sun rays, will go around the house, the branches will make a 90-degree turn looking for Jesus. I mean, looking for light. No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what type of turns we have to do, what we have to do. This is the key. This is the key of being successful, growing upward, always looking at Jesus. When in darkness, follow the sun, S-O-N. Exposure to the sun, S-O-N. Exposure to the sun's rays prevents apocalyptic burning. And you know what I'm talking about. If you don't like the way you were born, try being born again in Christ. If Christ is your co-pilot today, swap seats. He can lead you safely to the Katrinas of life, regardless of how hard they are. Yes, remember that going to church does not make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. It is the fellowship. It is the fellowship that we experience with one another and with Jesus, with Christ, that will make us Christian. If you want God for Father, you need to have the church as mother. It is in the bosom of the church where we can more clearly see the light of the sun. So you want to grow healthy? You want to be a healthy Christian, a healthy minister? Let's grow like trees. Let's grow upward. But trees not only grow upward. You know, they grow downward. They grow downward. Roots are very important to trees because it is the way they extract the nutrients, the nitrates, the water, the liquids they need for the process of photosynthesis that in connection with the sun takes place in the leaves. How important it is to grow in the roots. The Word of God. The roots. The roots to trees are the anchor. The anchor. And it is estimated that the trees, the roots of the trees, expand not only some of those as deep as they are high outside the soil, and as wide as the crown around the tree. That's why if you want to put some fertilizer in the trees, you just have to spread it around, not necessarily by the trunk. That's the mistake that we usually make. You just spread it around the crown of the tree. That's where they get their nutrients. We need to feed ourselves on the Word of God on a daily basis. How important it is the Bible. How important it is that we are biblically sound. Having truth decay, brush up with the Bible. Many books inform, but remember, only the Bible transform. We need the Bible. And in settings, educational settings, as where we are right now, it is very easy to spend many hours reading many good books about the Bible. But how important it is that we spend also some time with the Bible. The Bible is God's holy word. Do not put a question mark where he has already put a period. And some things there is a period. And in the process of reading many books, many theologians, we probably put some question marks in what the Bible says and in what our church believes. We have now 28 fundamental doctrines. In our house, we have a 29th for many years. This is the Holy Sabbath siesta. That's a 20th. But anyway, the 28th, they have a period. And we are as seminarians, as Adventist seminarians, to uphold them and to defend them, not necessarily to question them. The Bible is a remarkable brain pesticide. How beautiful it is. It can remove any type of weeds that may be uprooting in our head. To be a healthy Christian, we cannot use the Bible just as snack food. It has to be the main dish in our preaching. You know, sermons need to have at least 3 stories. It's the main story of the sermon is the story of the Bible. The main story of our beliefs is the story of the Bible. The main story of our practice is rooted in the principles emulated by the Scriptures. It is like a telescope. To see beyond, we need to look through the Bible, not just to look at it. And it is very tempting. We all have a Bible, all kinds of Bibles, all kinds of versions of the Bible. But it is not just looking at it, it is looking through it that will transform us. It is looking through it, through the roots, the teachings, that we can then grow up like healthy trees. Like trees planted by waters, whose leaf never wither. Whatever it does, it will prosper. He who heeds the instruction will prosper. These are the words of Solomon. Many people worry about the Bible texts they do not understand. I think we should worry more about those texts that we understand and need to obey. So we have trees, growing Christians like trees, growing like trees, growing upward, how important it is, but growing downward, deep into the teachings of the Scripture. It's the Word of God. It is God's principles, God's oracles for our behavior, for our doctrine, for our belief. But not only trees grow upward, they grow downward, they grow also inward. And let me explain that. You know, if you cut a tree transversely, diagonally, you will see that trees have rings. But you know that they are not rings. They are cones. Because if you cut a tree down at the bottom, you will see that the rings are larger in diameter. And if you cut it on top of the trunk, the rings are smaller in diameter. They are cones, closely united with each other. Inward growth. It is, you will notice that some rings are, let's say, thicker, wider than others, depending on the type of prosperity and nutrition they experienced that year. And we really hope that the 2-3 years you spend here at Andrews will be one of those thickest rings in your Christian life you ever experience. Years from now, if there will be a way of measuring the growth that you experience in your Christian life, that the rings of the 2005, 2006, 2007 years at Andrews would have been the healthiest, the most hopeful, the most profitable of all. But they are closely related. The outer ring is very important because it is the ring where it's called the cambium. It is the ring where the new nutrients come. But you see, the unity that these cones in the trees have gives them the flexibility, the resiliency, the elasticity to resist the hardest winds, the hardest attacks. And it is unity with one another, unity in our families. It is unity in the classroom. It is unity of belief. It is unity in hope. It is unity with one another and with God that will give us success as families, as a spiritual family, as an institution. Unity, how important it is. Solidarity, let's call it synergy. This type of synergy the Bible speaks about. A kingdom divided among itself cannot survive. It is this type of solidarity that we need to emulate. Let's call it, let me use a term, social syncretism. You know, this idea of theological syncretism is the mixture, the unity of different beliefs. But how about social syncretism? Socially, regardless of where you're coming from, whether it is South America, Europe, Africa, no matter where you're coming from, no matter the culture, the color of the skin, the background, we need to emulate this type of unity to be successful. Growing churches are united churches. How important. There are no two snowflakes alike, but in cooperation, they can paralyze an entire city. Unity. None of us is as smart as all of us. I see a couple of Brazilians over here. We all love soccer. And I remember not the two World Cups ago. When they, in the finals, Brazil was playing France. Brazil, 1-1, had the best players in the world. But the team was not united. There was a lot of exhibitionism. Everyone individually wanted to show they were the best. They wanted to make goals. and France with an inferior team won because they had unity. You see, how important it is. A cord of three strands will not quickly be broken. Ecclesiastes 4:12. You see why trees grow, these types of trees by waters are healthy? We can be that with unity. Finally, trees grow also outward. Yes, upward, downward, inward, and outward. And it is amazing how they manage to proliferate. It is amazing how they do it. It is incredible. Over here in the spring, you see the cottonwood. You know, this tree that has the seed is kind of surrounded, is covered by these cotton-like fibers. And they use the wind. It's a windy day. They float in the air and they are planted many places using this strategy, this method of proliferation, the wind. And then you will see cottonwoods all over the place. Some trees are so amazing, they can manage to export themselves to other continents. And you know, I'm talking about the coconut tree. Yes, it grows by the beach. It floats on the water, and for currents, wind and currents, will take coconut trees from one continent to another. Strategies. Yes. Church growth. Churches grow differently, and Christians grow differently in different places. You find, for instance, the mangrove tree. How many of you know the mangrove tree? It's this type of tree that grows on kind of a muddy soil. The roots are stems. They look like stems. They fall down and they float vertically. The sea currents will take them and they will fall on muddy soil, and they are planted right there. Different ways. I lived in the house someplace in this country where we had a pecan tree. And just about in the month of October, when the pecans were already ready to be eaten, you'll find all kinds of squirrels walking through the electrical cables, jumping into the branches, and taking care of the pecans. They will, the squirrels will grab them as they can effectively do with the hens. They peel them up and they will plant them. They will hide them on the soil in different places. And it was something of concern, because the root of pecan trees, when you have 6 inches of plant above, you have about 12 inches of roots underneath. And they will plant it generally in places where there is where rain doesn't fall, by the houses, by the foundation. And you don't want trees, pecan trees, by the foundation of the house, because they will. There were pecan trees all over the neighborhood, and I was wondering why. You know, I thought maybe they planted more than they could handle, but then I thought, maybe they are forgetful. You know, as you get old and decrepit, as I am getting, you start to forget things. It is the time of life when you get to the metal age. Have you heard? The metal age is when you get gold on your teeth, you get silver on your head, you get lead on your feet, you walk slow, and you get Teflon in the brain. Nothing sticks to it. And you know, lately, my wife has been cooking with these Teflon pots, and I think some particles have been coming out and getting into my brain, because it is just amazing how easy to forget. But there were pecan trees all over the place. You see, in order to reach a CD generation, we cannot use a track technology. The way to spread the gospel varies for many reasons. I've been teaching adults for quite a while. My wife is very good at teaching children. And a few years ago, she was having a hard time finding a teacher for her Sabbath school class, the juniors. And I say, piece of cake, I'll help you. I've been teaching adults for many years. Teaching small children is like nothing. How wrong I was. How wrong. I think in 2-3 weeks, I was out of that. I could not capture the attention of this. It's a total different story. You see, evangelism. There is a chapter by Ellen White in the book Evangelism. We need to use different methods to reach different people. You see? And trees, they manage to do it greatly, many ways. Some trees are so clever. Look at what they do. They produce a fruit with a tiny seed, and the seed is covered by this film that is not digestible by the digestive juices of the birds. So they eat the seed, they eat the fruit, and then plant the seed with oil and fertilizer someplace else. Isn't that amazing? Yes. Trees grow outwards, and we exist to proliferate the gospel. Yes. Theology is important, but preaching the gospel is important too. Evangelism is a right that belongs to ministers alone. But since every believer is a minister, everyone has the right to be an evangelist. We all do have to be an evangelist. In fact, I remember many years ago, and I still have 5 minutes, because I know we are very, and I think it's very important to be on time. But some years ago, when I was a pastor in Southern California, I invited a friend to give me a seminar on spiritual gifts, because it is very important. And I learned that we have to make a difference between gift and responsibility. You see? It's a difference. Let me illustrate this. There is a gift of faith. And there are some folks who have the gift of faith. And year after year, I see that gift of faith being exercised here in this institution. I see students that come with their families from different countries with nothing, and they make it. I don't know if I'll be able to do that. That's faith. You see? They have the gift of faith. But you see, without faith, it is impossible. What is it? How does it go in English? To please God. That's it. It is impossible. We all need to exert it. Although some people have a greater measure of that. Let me illustrate it possibly with a more dramatic way. The Bible speaks about the gift of celibacy. And I know many of us here do not have that gift, because we are married, you see. But when I am teaching for Andrews for 2-3 weeks in another country, I have to exert it. You see the difference between gift and responsibility. We all have the responsibility to be witnesses. Of course, there are folks that have the gift of evangelism, and they will excel on that. But we all somehow need, like trees, to grow outward, sharing the gospel with different people. And I do it all the time. I was traveling to, I was coming from Mexico to Chicago, and I was sitting by Luis Hernandez, El Matador. It's a soccer player. And I was able to witness to him about the gospel. I was going to Peru once, and right beside me, there was a fellow who seemed to be a very executive, with computers and faxes. Yeah, try the opportunity to witness as much as we can. This individual, when they were serving lunch, it was in the days when they were serving lunch. Now, literally, they give you peanuts, and sometimes they give you pretzels. And that's it. And then he said, I asked him, oh, you seem to work for a big corporation. And he says, yes, I work for a corporation that has investments in over 70 countries. This is mineral stuff. And I see, and then he looked me with a little arrogance and he said, and what do you do? He said, oh, I work for a corporation that has investments in over 200 countries. Oh, really? He said. And then well, that's what we are for, to witness. Well, you know, you could expand it a bit. The owner of the corporation is my father. Theology without evangelism is as bad as evangelism without theology. How important it is. How important. And I'm kind of promoting the missions department over here and the CHMN department. They are all important. We need each other. Witnessing for Christ sweetens life. Unfortunately, not everyone likes sweets. A Christian that is not reaching out is passing out. People like trees must grow or die. There is no standing still. The best vitamin for a healthy Christian is be one. Let us be one. Let us be Christians like tree, grow upward looking at Jesus. Grow downward in the Word of God. Grow inward in unity, solidarity, synergy, and preaching the gospel outward. May the Lord bless you.